Welcome to Popcast. Today we have someone very special who's working endlessly, tirelessly for the love of animals. She goes out of her way to, I don't even know what all she does. We're going to find out today. She is a certified canine behavior specialist. She's a trainer in Mumbai. She's an animal welfare activist. And there's so much to her. I'm personally very excited to share her story because she helped me with my first rescue, who I finally adopted and has been with me for the last 6 years. Please welcome Mallika Kamodia. She's here with us. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
I'm so happy to have you.
I'm really glad I'm here.
I know I have not met you in person since the last 6 years, but I have followed you day in, day out on Instagram. I know exactly what you do.
Yeah.
You are living my dream life in puppy land because that's all, and I would love to do that.
Thank you.
How did this become your life?
So ever since I was a kid, I was just obsessed with animals, okay? Like, I think the first thing when I was 5 or 6, I just picked up a random pigeon who couldn't fly and I was like, we have to help this.
You rescued back then?
Yeah, yeah. It was always a thing that okay. I started with. It just had a lot of empathy for animals. I don't think it was something that was taught to me.
Hmm.
Touch wood, I'm very lucky that it just came naturally.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm very lucky. I'm a person who knows their purpose of life. Like,
yeah.
I knew since I was a kid that I have to only work with animals and help animals.
Yeah.
And mainly stray animals.
And why? No idea why. You just like, no the idea. Same compassion for humans, or it's something special for...
I just feel like, the thing is, I've grown up on Marine Drive. I live at Marine Drive.
Okay.
So ever since I was a kid, I've played with the strays at Marine Drive.
And there are tons of them.
And there are tons of them. Like, yeah. Currently, I think we have about 60, 70.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. But you know how people can be sometimes. They want to pet the pet dog.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to pet the strays. Or the strays are so loving. And
I know.
And it's just been a thing. I've been taking care. And I've been playing with them and taking care of them ever since I was in school.
So 60, 70, you take care alone?
No, no. We're a group of about 6, 7 people. All of us who have lived on Marine Drive or walked our dogs on Marine Drive and fallen in love with the strays.
Yeah.
So we're like a core group of about 7 people. And then we do get like people who help us with donations and all.
Okay.
But the main like groundwork is done by about 6, 7 women.
So you have like names for all of them and each of them like is identified as your dog.
Tags written Marine Drive. They have numbers. So if they go off to another area, we get calls like, please come.
So when do they end up going off to another area? Isn't there usually around there?
Ganpati, and there are crackers.
Horrible. Yes.
So they sometimes catch trains. They run off to Churchgate station.
They catch the train.
Yeah. And their dogs have gone off to Goregaon and Borivali, and it's been tough. So we always make sure we call them, get them back, because honestly, we're blessed that people call us, but there have been times where then we've just not got calls.
Yeah. I think people don't understand that they're living beings. You know, for them, human beings, and these are things.
Yeah.
So how would you explain this in simple words to them, that they're living the same life as us, they have their families, they want love, they want everything?
I just tell people very simple stuff. I'm like, even if you don't love them, I don't think you want to hurt them. Just understand them and empathize with them. Where will they go? It's their home. The streets are their home.
Yeah.
So even if they are sort of barking, it's because that's the only space they have to live. So they will be a little territorial. Some random person comes into my house and shoo them away.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's not okay for them to bite or attack. But I just feel like people can be a little more empathetic towards them and be a little more understanding. Life on the street is not easy.
It's not easy. So and I bet you have some crazy rescue cases coming in.
Yeah, I do.
So the life of strays, I mean, you've been rescuing animals for like what, 20 years now?
Yeah. Like working with animals.
Has it changed? Has it become better? Has it become worse? Because now also on social media, you see what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one knew. So when you see it, you feel like, oh God, it's gotten worse. But you've been dealing with it for the last so many years.
I feel like it's a mix of both.
Okay.
Like one side of people have really like become a lot more empathetic.
Mm.
A lot of people have started
voicing their support.
And also voicing their support and supporting rescuers and NGOs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like a lot of people are getting...
A lot of hate is also coming out on that, right?
Getting really bad.
Yeah.
Like the kind of cases that are coming up are very horrific. They've always been there, but I feel like it's getting a little worse.
I think in Bombay, I've heard these amazing stories about like people like you just coming out and making their whole life. How did your passion become your profession, and how do you manage?
passion became profession because I can't think of doing anything
okay.
else. Could never focus on anything else. Everything seemed extremely like pointless and boring. And
yeah.
I used to play a lot of table tennis, but I was asked to choose like,
you have
to play table tennis professionally. You need to stop like
doing this.
Yeah, dropping everything and running after every angle.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't do it. So I just knew that this is what I have to do. I didn't want to become a vet because I wasn't very good at science. I was very bad
All right.
at history. So instead, and also my dog, actually, I will tell you, my dog is 10 years old.
Okay.
I have two dogs now. Yeah. Both are rescues.
Wow.
Both are Indian.
Yeah.
One I adopted just last year and he's a year and a half. And the other one is about 10. And he was, he came to me because his mother was beaten to death by a watchman.
Oh, God.
It was horrible. And there was a girl over there who felt really bad for now Rio.
Yeah.
And took him home. But she was traveling the same day.
Hmm.
So she shut him off in her bathroom for 3 days. And that's how then he came to me after 6 days of trauma. So when he came, he was an absolute wreck. Trembling. Petrified of everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like then he improved, got very comfortable with us, we fell in love. It was a foster fail and we adopted him. We all fell in love with him.
Yeah.
But then we realized he has quite a few behavior issues.
Yeah.
And we had never seen something so bad.
Okay.
I fostered a lot of animals.
Yeah.
A lot of traumatized animals, but never seen a case which was this bad. My dog was phobic of the outdoors. I've never till date in my career met anybody who's phobic of the outdoors.
Because he was locked up for so long. He's always been indoors.
And the trauma.
And I've seen his mom going through that.
Okay. So every time we would try and take him down, he would start shaking and trembling, looking at the watchman or anybody in uniform. And there would be discharge and pee and poop and puke and... Twice he's rolled up his eyes and passed out.
Oh,
like
God.
I actually thought he got a heart attack and in my building parking lot.
And actually, stray dogs have to deal with all this because there are 100 people they're dealing with every day being treated differently. And they're still supposed to be kind and polite to everyone. We expect that, right?
That's so bad.
Like people just assume that they don't know their backstories and how they react to people. And so how would you like to help people understand this whole dilemma about stray dogs? Like, you know, like everyone's getting involved. They ban like these aggressive dog species. I think a lot has to play with how we treat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
I don't know. I don't understand why a dog barking is such a big deal.
Yeah.
Like if a dog is barking, he's barking. If you're going to instigate the dog more, it's going to just make it worse.
Yeah.
I mean, if I go to a new area sometimes because I smell of dogs, the dogs there will come barking at me and then I just smile at them and say, hi. Some of them that are fearful will wag their tail at a distance and let me know I don't want to be petted and I'll respect that. Some of them will come, sniff me, and be like, okay, she's not meaning any harm, and they go away.
So how do you identify? Like, I'm a layman, I've never dealt with dogs before.
Yeah.
How do I know if, and I love dogs decently, how do I approach, when do I know I can approach? Like, if you can just, like, sum it up.
Two things. I tell everybody, if you want to say hi to a dog, whether it's a pet dog or a stray dog, you don't go up to the dog.
Yes.
The dog come up to you.
Okay.
You kind of maybe bend down a little bit, face a little sideways. Don't maintain immediate eye contact.
Okay.
Be very calming with your aura. Don't come off as very hyper or very like overwhelming. I myself am a person who takes some time to open up to a person. So someone, I'll give a tight hug. But imagine a stranger coming in straight giving you a hug. I'll just be like, you're too much for me and probably push them.
Yeah.
So I just feel like let them approach you. The minute you see like loose body language, they're wagging their tail, they're looking very happy and sweet, you can pet them. You never straight touch their head. You always pet them sideways, maybe around the neck or whatever. You don't touch the head or the shoulder or the back or whatever. It's like they let you know actually dogs are very clear with their body language. We just don't respect it enough. A lot of times people, when a dog is sleeping, they'll go pet it.
Yeah.
For a dog who lives on the street, their first reflex as a defense mechanism
is
run and bite.
Yeah.
Just because so many people want to hit them, kick them, run them.
I think it's anyone sleeping who wake anyone with a jerk, it's the start.
Scary.
Yeah.
I just feel like if a dog is giving you a little growl, if his fur is standing up, he's looking very tight.
Yeah.
But see, let it go. You don't need to reach out and pet them. If they come close, sniff you, say good. good hi, whatever, and just let it go. Unless you see very loose, happy body language,
yeah,
I would say just leave them be. To be nice or let them know, I say hi, I like you.
Yeah.
You don't have to pet them or hug them.
Yeah.
Give them some biscuits, they'll automatically become your friends.
Very important question. What can you and not give stray dogs? What should you avoid? I mean, they're really eating off the streets.
Right.
Anything and everything.
Absolutely.
But till you can, and if you're really giving, what can you give and not?
So, of course, there have been cases everywhere where, unfortunately, dogs have been poisoned, all of that stuff, unfortunately.
Mm.
But most indie dogs, indie breeds that are the Indian pariah breeds
on
the streets, which we call the stray dogs,
mm.
They have something known as genetic knowledge, where if something is really bad for them, they
okay.
won't eat it.
Okay.
Most of them do have that, unless, of course, some of them have some sicknesses or are extremely malnourished. Most of them just eat anything. So I feel like, honestly, in a situation where it's either no food
hmm.
or a Parle-G biscuit packet,
you feed
the Parle-G biscuit packet.
Said.
If you're going to be a feeder every day, then don't give Parle-G every day just because it's high on sugar.
Hmm.
Move to maybe Mari. Or you get these Doggy G biscuits now, which
Doggy
are basically...
G biscuits.
Yeah, it's available online.
Okay.
It's the same price. It's 10
oh,
rupees
wow.
for a packet. It has no sugar. It looks like Parle-G and you can feed the strays
that. Nice.
And of course, there's dog food. There's chicken, eggs, milk, roti, paneer.
Everything works.
Dogs get fed like...
Yeah, they're healthy. Yeah. And then I come to this area. You cross Marine Drive and you go to a little and then you see the scrawny. I wish it was just like everyone around. I think just people are unaware and half of them is out of fear. They're not...
Yeah,
everyone has humility and they want to help out.
I feel like social media has become a little...
It's going both ways.
Both ways. Everyone's showing support also. But at the same time, anything you do is somehow pinpointed.
Yes.
And like a small error. And people will point out a small error instead of seeing the niceness of things. I was in Amritsar like 4 years ago.
Mm.
And there was no dog food available there where I was.
Wow.
But there were dogs everywhere. So I went and bought like 30-40 packets of Parle-G because even Mari biscuit was not available. And I posted stories of feeding them, all were cuddling and licking me and jumping on me. It was so sweet.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, this is great, everyone's like, but you're not supposed to feed Parle-G. So I just feel like at the end of the day, a full belly is always happier and better.
Of course.
Than being going hungry. Yeah.
How is a day, a regular day in Mallika's life?
I start my day with Marine Drive.
At what time?
At 6:45, 7 a.m.
Amazing.
Yeah, I have to start my day with Marine Drive. So I usually take sessions at Marine Drive.
Okay.
For my dogs that I train. So first thing, all the dogs that I train get socialized with my strays.
How sweet.
Yeah, that's my other way, my little small way of kind of transforming people, getting people to love the strays. Because everyone's first instinct when they bring a puppy out is to show the stray away.
Yes.
Like, what if this stray dog is going to
bite,
or bite or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they meet my strays and they see how respectful and nice and loving my strays are. And in fact, my strays teach the puppies so much.
Yeah.
So then these guys are like, oh my God, and start becoming so empathetic towards the strays.
Yeah.
So that's how the whole thing starts. So that's how I start my morning.
Yes.
Do a session on Marine Drive, feed the strays, hug and cuddle with my streeties. I don't like calling them strays.
Yeah.
My Marine Drive dogs. Then from there, I start home sessions.
Okay.
I work till about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I go home, feed my dog, cook for my dog. And then I take up another session. Then I take sessions at race course where I have to take my dog because he needs to run for 3 hours.
Ah, that's so important.
And there also I feed about 4 or 5 strays.
Wow. So that's all you're doing today. The whole day you're with dogs. Now, something, you said 3 hours. Why 3 hours? What if they don't run? Like, my dog is at home. I'm giving him 1 hour of exercise every day.
Which is great.
What happens if they don't exercise? So, like, I've seen dogs, especially in Bombay, when they're in apartments, parents are working the whole day. Of course, I've seen help taking their dogs down. And I don't think they have the same compassion or something. And it's fair enough, but they're always, that's their excuse to get out on the phone.
Yeah.
What happens to a dog like that who doesn't get the daily exercise or the right kind of stimulation in a day?
Yeah. So I guess in that case, it goes either or. Either the dog becomes really like
lazy, depressed.
Yeah, and like a little low and just sleeping around all day.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, this is my mundane life. I go for a stroll. The minute I do my susu and potty, I'm brought back up. It's yeah. actually a walk.
Yeah.
They come back. There's not too many people to play with them or stimulate yeah. them. So they're just sleeping and that's just become their life.
Hmm.
Or then it flips the other way around where there are behavior issues. They get very destructive. They
yeah.
are being and
I mean, because they have that energy.
Or anxious. It could be anything.
Yeah.
So I just feel like no matter what, walks are very important for dogs.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should just be playtime, anything that makes them happy.
Yeah.
And that's usually the outdoors.
Yeah.
For my dog, he needs off-leash running. He doesn't eat without that.
Yeah.
He refuses to eat.
How important is training for dogs? Okay, especially because now there's so many cases of biting, aggression yeah. in lifts. And, you know, especially because we live in societies.
Yeah. yeah.
How important is training? And can this be prevented through training?
Absolutely.
Because yeah. I was someone of an idea, like, you don't train a dog. We are growing up the same way they need to grow yeah. up. But I'm like, I was taught manners yeah. by my yeah. parents.
Correct.
So how important is it?
So I feel like the way it was about 15, 20 years ago and now how the situation is very different.
Okay.
I don't think back then people really trained their dogs.
Not at all, yeah.
They just treated them like pieces. A family member, but at the same time as dogs and
yeah.
be dogs.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest issue that's going on today in our day is that people see dogs as their kids, which is absolutely fine. My dog yeah. is my world.
Yes.
I don't love anybody more than I love my dog.
Same.
And that's okay. But I still don't forget that he's my dog. He is a dog who is my child.
Yeah.
He's a dog. He doesn't have human needs.
Yes.
I cannot humanize my dog.
Hmm.
So I feel like that's the biggest thing going wrong these days.
Yeah.
People humanizing their dogs, mollycoddling them so much. They don't let them go out. I mean, everyone has fancy beds and such expensive, like, collars with diamonds and all for their dogs. I know dogs who wear, like, Louis Vuitton and Gucci, like, outfits and all that stuff, which is great. You do whatever you want. But those dogs then never go out. They don't, they've never touched grass. They've never touched sand. They've never played with a stick, like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, so they've never...
Dogs are not doing doggy dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then that turns into frustration eventually.
Hmm.
And that's when all the aggression comes up.
So this can be controlled.
This can be. So I
in
feel
a
like,
better way.
Yeah, and I feel like this day and age, we're so busy. And I feel like people expect too much from dogs. I don't think we are that perfect that we can expect our dogs to
yeah.
be so perfect. I know so many people will come and tell me, but he doesn't like other dogs. I'm so upset. I want him to be best friends with other dogs. I said, but if he doesn't like other dogs, it's okay. As long as he's not creating an issue and being mean to another dog,
yeah.
lunging and barking and creating a ruckus, why did you force him to be fair?
Yeah.
I just feel like a little bit more of respect and consent is very important. And it's the other way around with these strong breeds that now people have banned.
Yes, banned, yeah.
Yeah. These breeds actually have trained a lot of these dogs. Yes, they are a little strong-willed, but that's how they were bred.
Yeah.
Humans bred them this way.
Yeah.
And now that kind of behavior, which is genetically natural to them,
is not expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem also is, and I've had such experiences, if somebody calls me for, let's say, an Akita or Rottweiler or Pitbull.
Yeah.
When they see me enter the house, they look at me and they see that I'm quite small.
Yeah. And will you be able to handle it?
They're like, will you train him? And I'm like, yeah. Can you handle it? I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, most people who have these heavy, strong breeds get like male trainers or trainers who follow very like different methods of training.
Yeah.
Yanking and kicking and hitting.
And then choke collar.
And shock collars and...
Shock collars.
Starving and yeah. And a lot of punishment-based training for everything.
Yeah.
Just even to teach a basic sit, I know some Rottweilers or Dobermann who have been taught to sit by standing on the paw. Yeah.
And I know some Rottweilers who are like puppies.
Even
yeah. My dog's best friend in Bombay was a teddy bear Rottweiler.
Absolutely. And all the dogs that I've trained that are pit bulls, mastiffs,
yeah.
Akitas, Rottweilers, they are like the sweetest cuddle bugs ever.
No, I wish.
Feel like the way you train them is very important.
I wish we could just get everyone and show them this world and Absolutely. Be like, it's such a happy world.
Absolutely.
Okay, so of course you rescue dogs and you work with dogs. What other animals have you worked with?
So I have rescued and fostered any animal that can fit
any in the door. Like a crocodile.
If they were in Bombay, I would have rescued them.
You would have.
I would.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I rescued like rats and pigs and bats and kites and owls and everything. In fact, like I've recently become a volunteer with RAW, which is the NGO that works with wildlife in Mumbai. They work with the forest department as well. So South Bombay doesn't really have wildlife per se.
Yes, but not yet.
Not yet. But any calls that we get here, my friend and I are the only volunteers here. So any like kites and owls. So this time Makar Sankranti was just horrific. In a span of 3 days, I think I myself as a like a recent volunteer, I got about 90 calls. And I ran for all 90. And out of those 90, about 60 were already dead. And I managed to rescue about 20 to 30.
So that's what flying kites does too.
Yeah, it's horrible. I just don't understand why, unfortunately, but it's horrible. So there were so many different, there were baby kites and there were baby owls and there were big kites. And they're such majestic birds.
Yeah.
You see them petrified, will never be able to fly or require a lot of rehab for years maybe and might be able to fly.
Yeah.
Rescued bats. Those bats are also looked down upon a little bit.
It's the kind of adorable. I know, I think they're damn cute.
You know, also I'm very, I believe in, you know, there are people who use animals for their own.
Yeah, Marine Drive was full of them.
Yeah, now, touch wood, it stopped, but unfortunately, other parts of Bombay, horse carriages, bullock carts, still
horrible to see. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is still, and it's not okay in my opinion, but it's still legal. But I think most of these people don't have licenses and that is illegal. So in fact, while I came here, I've made your entire team wait for like 2 hours.
Yes.
So sorry.
She has.
But while you were here, while I was coming here, there was a horse being made to run with a very heavy carriage.
Yes.
It was a small size horse. It was horrible. It was at Mahim Bridge. I've taken a video screaming away in the...
Stop the traffic.
Stop the traffic.
Created a chaos.
See, but... I'm not apologetic. Humans
of
can
course
do
not.
Their own thing. The poor horse, it was horrible. He was salivating. It was horribly hot. The carriage was very heavy. It was a slope up and they were making him run. And the person riding the horse carriage was probably 14.
Oh, God.
So for him, it is just fun. And after that, the horse collapsed in front of my eyes. And then it just became a... big nasty thing and the horse carriage. They tried to run away because they didn't have a license.
Yeah.
I really managed to intimidate them. They thought.
You did.
I'm tiny, so it wasn't a big deal, but they really got scared. And they nicked my Uber also. So now they're at the police station right now with the Uber driver.
And the horse is saved?
Horse is probably going to be confiscated if they cannot provide
the papers.
The papers.
Amazing.
I'm going to make sure maybe Sameer at Kalote or one of the people who can handle horses takes him in for a bit till we find something more permanent because horses are very expensive.
Ah.
So these people obviously are making money out of the horse without a license, without taking good care of the horse. It was a very skinny, scrawny, small
poor guy.
So yeah, those are the kinds.
So hopefully he's in good hands and we are so proud of you. Thank you for sharing your story. I think you're doing amazing work out there. And I'm so glad that we could get you here and share your story. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
I hope you got something out of this and I will see you really soon with more stories like this. Thank you for watching us.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming here.
Thanks so much.